anybody can put a number into a spreadsheet. Anybody can put a number into a calculator. But helping a person understand the story around how that number got there or the decisions that were made to put that number there is where our skills are key.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another week at Future Proof. I'm your host, Bill Sheridan. And I hope you have your thinking caps on because we're going to be talking about education this week, accounting education to be exact, which is probably the right thing to be talking about. I mean, we talk about skills quite frequently on the show, the skills we're going to need to remain relevant in a changing and complex world. Seems only appropriate that we should spend some time talking about where we're going to be getting these skills and who's going to be teaching them to us. Before we do that, just a quick note that this week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So, back to education. Here's the question that keeps popping up in my mind. We've talked about these future-ready skills here a lot. I mean, we're talking about things like collaboration and communication, strategic and critical thinking, anticipation, how to work with all of these amazing new technologies. And these skills have not traditionally been a part of the accounting curriculum at most colleges and universities. So my question is this: should accounting education change to reflect this new reality? And if so, how should it change? And how quickly should it change? All good questions. And that's why I'm really excited to have as my guest this week, Kelly Richmond Pope. She's a PhD and a CPA and an associate professor at the School of Accountancy and Management Information Systems at DePaul University, where her research focuses on organizational misconduct, ethics, and fraud, and how organizations can design cultures and compliance systems to confront these challenges. And she has some really interesting ideas about how accounting education needs to evolve to better prepare students for the evolving profession they're about to enter. And we'll get to that conversation here in just a minute. First, here's what caught my eye this week, speaking of education. It's an article from the Charlotte Business Journal titled "Tradition-Bound Accounting Degrees Expand to Include Artificial Intelligence, Forensics as Industry Grows." And with a headline like that, I almost don't even need to explain the article, do I? That's pretty descriptive. Just a side note here. I used to work as a desk editor and headline writer for daily newspapers back in the day. And the general rule at that time was the shorter, the better. Or as I like to say, less is more, right? 3, 4, 5, 6 words, short, punchy headlines that those were the things that you were going for as an editor back in the day, I guess, to save space, right? In print, you only have so much space to work with. Nowadays, you see headlines that are complete sentences or two. And I know I'm sounding like an old geezer right now. You know, back in my day, we could only read the news once a day and you had to wait for someone to bring it to you. And we only had 3 channels and we liked it that way. I don't know. I guess you want those longer headlines now. It gives people an idea of what the article's about, helps them decide whether or not to click on it. Just funny, I guess, to me. Anyway, another example of how things have changed pretty radically in a short period of time. Sorry, I digress. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, accounting education. Back to the point. That Charlotte Business Journal article, written by a guy named Frank Costanza, and for you Seinfeld fans out there, I am not kidding. That's the dude's actual name, Frank Costanza. Anyway, here's what he writes. He says, and I'm quoting directly from the article here, quote, "Nearly 1.4 million accountants and auditors were employed nationally in 2016, and that figure is expected to grow by 10% by 2026, according to the U.S. Department of Labor's Bureau of Labor Statistics. And 80% of companies recently surveyed by the National Association of Colleges and Employers say they intend to keep hiring accounting majors. However, Those percentages do not mean that companies are only looking for entry-level employees who are master number crunchers. Rather, most firms, especially those that can invest in the latest software to automate basic accounting tasks, will want well-rounded candidates. They need individuals to accurately collect and report figures, analyze and explain their meaning, and offer critical and timely advice to their superiors. Accounting has moved away from its bookkeeping roots and has become a background for data analysis, high-level advising, and increasingly partners with decision-making in other functional areas of the business, end quote. So Costanza goes on to say that more and more organizations are looking to hire accounting students who have backgrounds in things like forensics and higher-level experience in areas like financial accounting and managerial accounting, governmental accounting and auditing, and for accountants with experience in new technologies and analysis. And as always, they want people who can go beyond just the numbers, who can tell the stories behind the numbers and communicate their value and meaning, a lot of which hasn't been part of traditional accounting education, which brings me right back to my guest this week, right? Kelly Richmond Pope. She says we're teaching students what we're teaching students, rather, has to change, but so does how we teach them. And she incorporates things like filmmaking, for instance, in her classrooms. In fact, she's directed a documentary that's on Netflix right now. It's called All the Queen's Horses. It's a documentary about a controller in a small Illinois town who financed her successful horse breeding business by embezzling $53 million in public funds. Did I mention that Kelly's research focuses on misconduct, ethics, and fraud? She's also given a TED Talk, by the way, about whistleblowers called Why Do We Hate Whistleblowers? You can find that online. But Kelly has some really insightful and creative ideas for how we can better prepare students for the realities they'll face when they enter this changing and complex profession. Now, this was a fun and an eye-opening conversation. And appropriately enough, I learned a lot here. So without further ado, here is Kelly Richmond Pope. So Kelly, thanks for being here. I keep reading these studies and research papers about the skills that accounting and finance pros are going to master, you know, in an age of smart machines and automation and things like that. And these are not your stereotypical accounting and finance skills, right? They're things like the ones I keep seeing are things like communication and anticipation and critical and strategic thinking, collaboration, those types of things. So I guess my first question for you is do you agree with that type of stuff? Are these the kinds of things that's going to have to increasingly know how to do going forward?
I think that's a great question. And I do think that those soft skills that you're talking about are things that are going to make us stay marketable. What we don't want to do is we don't want to be replaced by artificial intelligence. And I think that if we focus too much on just the technique and the technical side of what we're doing as accountants, then we risk the chance of being replaced. So making sure that you are able to communicate information, making sure that you can talk to people and present material in a concise and effective way will be very important for our students as they turn from becoming a student into becoming a professional.
And I heard somebody describe it in kind of a unique way recently. He said that the sweet spot for accounting and finance pros going forward is going to have them learning how to become storytellers, right? In other words, mastering the skill of being able to tell the story behind the numbers rather than just kind of crunching them. And I thought that was a really unique way of looking at it.
Right. Because if you think about it, anybody can put a number into a spreadsheet. Anybody can put a number into a calculator. But helping a person understand the story around how that number got there or the decisions that were made to put that number there is where our skills are key. And I think part of the issue with our student population now is one, because our society is more casual. We text more than we type and talk, makes our communication development challenged. And so the more that you are able to speak freely and openly and be able to present information and explain material to clients, the better accountant and business, better finance professional you'll be.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about education for a second. Are accounting departments prepared really to teach students these types of skills? Where do we stand?
Well, you know, this is a tough question, you know, and this is, I think, a highly controversial question. And I think my answer might be, it may be supported by some and I may offend others, but I think what happens as an educator, you have to believe in reinventing yourself almost annually and have to keep up with the trends and the way people consume information. And I think if you're not doing that, then what you're offering to your customer, your students, is a very stale product. And so if you are still using lecture-based, PowerPoint-heavy, text-heavy-driven lectures to communicate information to your students, you are doing them a disservice. And so I think that it is very important that educators have to stay in line with the change of the way students consume material. And video and mobile devices are things and platforms that they use to consume information. So if you can't beat them, join them. Figure out a way to incorporate those as learning tools. And that's something that I've done.
Yeah.
Strongly believe in. And that is using video, using film, using TV to show students that accounting information is all around us. How can we use that to better enhance class is what my personal mission and passion is.
So give me an example of what you've done or what you've seen others do that you think is particularly effective as far as teaching today's students.
So one of the things that I've done is I've merged my accounting training. So I did my PhD in accounting at Virginia Tech and learned research skills. And so what I've done is I've taken those skills and merged them with filmmaking. So about 8 years ago, I started this whole new career where I'm a documentary filmmaker. And so my film, All the Queen's Horses, which is currently on Netflix now, the accounting professor who has a film on Netflix, that as a way to share this powerful story about the importance of accounting information, the importance of auditing, the importance of internal controls. And I use that as a teaching tool and students love it. And quite frankly, I've gone all over the globe showing this film, doing these Q&As and showing students and educators and practitioners how you can learn through film. And so many of us are visual and audio learners that it just greatly enhances the classroom experience. So that's the first thing I did. What I'm working on right now is a project with my partner, Ronnie Jackson of Jacked. And what we're doing is building out this edutainment curriculum where students first watch a film and then they go into an investigation with real documents and real issues. So it brings their learning to life. So it's this merge, again, of film and accounting and business theory with ethics. And so I really have made it my life's mission to revamp myself. How can I get better? How can I make the classroom dynamic? Almost what I'm trying to mirror is how the classroom was when we were in elementary school. Remember how the classroom looked. It was vivid. There were things that you could touch and feel. And there were so many experiences and there were so many different types of feelings and emotions that you would have in a classroom. And as we've gotten older, we've made the classroom more and more and more sterile. And yet we want them to be so excited about being here. So what I'm trying to do is to put some of that youthfulness and that fun back into the classroom, because when you're having fun, you typically learn better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems like, you know, things are changing so rapidly. The profession being just one example. And it seems as though education hasn't evolved at the same pace.
And I think that there is an arrogance among us sometimes where we think we don't have to evolve. We think that we sometimes know best. And it really takes a very self-aware instructor to say, you know what, if I've been doing the same thing for 5 years, for 3 years, and maybe even 2 years, I probably need to change. And this is a really weird profession because you really don't have to. Like, there's no one telling you, if you teach intro to accounting, if you teach intro to financial or intro to managerial, you could literally use the same book and the same syllabus for the next 5-10 years. Mm-hmm. There's no reward often to change except your own personal satisfaction.
Right. So for someone who sees the value in doing something new and different, but you know, doesn't have the experience, or you know, maybe is a little older and doesn't really grasp some of these new technologies, or whatever the case may be, where would they start? What do you think would be a logical way to introduce some small evolution into the classroom?
Well, I think first it has to start with the individual. I think that you have to first ask yourself, why don't you believe that you need to change? Why don't you feel the need to incorporate more technology? And so it first starts with your personal belief system. And for me, I want my students to be engaged. I want them to feel like their education is worth their time and their money. I want them to walk in my classroom every single day, a different person when they leave. And so if you believe in those things, then you're always looking for ways to really touch them. So for example, one of the things that I'm doing on the last day of class, I'm in Chicago, and there was a Chicago-based business that was on Shark Tank last Sunday. So I'm trying to get them to come on the last day of class. We'll watch their Shark Tank pitch, and then those actual people will walk in the class where they can ask them these great managerial accounting questions about, you know, contribution margin and what are your costs and, you know, how do you manage materials, labor, and overhead? Like, that makes class an experience. And I think that's what my goal is, for them to, as much as I can, offer them a unique experience. And so if you believe in that, then you're always looking for ways to just one up yourself. And so that's sort of my goal.
So that those are wonderful examples of how we're teaching students and how that might need to evolve. How about what we're teaching them? And I go back to that first question, that the skills we're going to need going forward, are we and our accounting departments equipped to teach those types of skills to tomorrow's accounting and finance pros? And if not, I mean, or are we even required to? Is it our responsibility to teach those types of things? Well, I mean, what do you think about these new skills and where tomorrow's pros are going to start learning those things?
I think we are equipped for sure. And I think we're equipped because we have the benefit of being on a university campus. I think the challenge and what we need to change is our approach to education is very siloed. And I think that it's the silo approach that may limit us for us to truly give our students what we need. So for example, if we took some of our accounting classes and co-taught them with a public speaking class or with some type of communication class or even a theater class, then students will gain the incredible experience of not only knowing the technical side of accounting, but being able to present that information to a client or to a partner. If we take some of our upward level classes and marry them or complement them by giving them some storytelling techniques, then we're giving them the skills, those soft skills, in a unique way. So I think that when we go outside of our discipline, there's so many things that can complement the accounting discipline that we often don't think about. And so when I really started going down this path of merging filmmaking with accounting, it just opened my eyes to, wow, how I can create such a powerful message to scale, because film is a huge platform. And so to think that I went from an idea about, wow, look at this fraud story, to then it's on Netflix in every English speaking country across the globe, shows you the power of merging your passion to another complementary field.
That's amazing. And it kind of strikes me that maybe just the sheer act of learning in these new kind of unique ways that you've set up will teach some of those softer skills. In other words, filmmaking is very much about storytelling, right? So
absolutely,
that might be a byproduct of learning in this way, is that you're picking up some of those future-ready skills at the same time.
Absolutely.
Any other signs that you've seen that make you think that maybe as a profession, our educators are starting to move the needle a little bit in this direction? Are we moving fast enough, do you think, to keep up with just the crazy rate of change that we're dealing with?
I don't know if we're moving fast enough. I can't answer that. I know that our students are moving pretty fast.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's hard to say if we're moving fast enough. I think that we sometimes get our cues from maybe not the right trigger. So for example, I know that the book publishers do a lot to sort of tell us what to do. And so if there's a new version of your book, you tend to just do whatever they tell you. If there's some new technology in the book, you tend to just use that. But I don't know if they are the right messenger for us. And I think that we might need to listen to our students a little bit more than we sometimes do, because oftentimes within those complaints lives some truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if we can sort of figure out what they're really saying, that may help us more. So I don't think we're moving fast enough. You know,
I was just going to say, what are you hearing from students? What kind of things are you hearing from them that about the future of this profession?
Interestingly, one of the things that I heard from my students about a couple weeks ago was the use of technology. And I just wrote a Forbes blog article for my Forbes blog about this. And the name of my article was Rethinking the Use of Technology in the Accounting Classroom. And it's on my Forbes blog. And the name of that blog is called Higher Learning. And to my surprise, my students really just prefer learning from paper and pencil.
Yeah.
You know, they want to come in and they want to work problems with you and you explain concepts. But this use of all of the technology, all of the computer-aided homework assignments and things like that, they don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of the research shows, a lot of the learning science research shows that we don't learn effectively that way. So it sort of makes you think, wow, as much as we are evolving, there are some things that still stay the same. For example, as much as I love technology and I love my iPhone and I love my iPad, I still like just a book in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I still like the pages, touching the pages and turning the pages. So I think that we have to always balance. We have to strike a really good balance between technology and learning, because my students, what I found is they just want, hand them out a piece of paper, tell them, write some notes with them. It slows you down as a professor, but they are consuming and retaining way more that way than they are with technology. They like technology socially, but they don't like technology as a learning tool is what I'm learning, which I was surprised by.
And that's, you know, and I think there's been some research done on that shows that, you know, if you actually pick up a pen or a pencil and write something down, physically write it on a piece of paper, you're much more apt to retain it than if you are even typing notes into a laptop or things like that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So it's interesting stuff. And I'm right there with you about books too. For a long time, I tried to, you know, I got a Kindle. I started reading books on Kindle, and I had to go back to the actual physical book. I just, there was something about holding the book in my hand that just really made it a much richer experience. So interesting stuff. So the way that the students like to learn might be a little bit more old school than a lot of us had expected, which is, yeah, that is a little bit surprising. How about, are you hearing anything about their thoughts about the profession itself, the what they're about to enter? What are you hearing in relation to that?
Well, I have my own thoughts about what I think is happening with the profession, and which is a little, I haven't heard them saying much because they don't know, I don't think they know what to say. But one of the things that I have noticed, and this is a result of all of the presentations and public speaking that I do, is the traditional office environment has changed so much, especially with the evolution and the growth of the tech companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what students are wanting is more of a work-life blend then I often think that the public accounting firms are offering. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a huge disconnect there because they want a blend. You know, this whole idea of busy season for Gen Z student and a millennial, they're looking at you like, what? Uh-huh. On a Saturday? Are you insane? I mean, like, so I think that there is a cultural shift in the student population that doesn't really match with the traditional needs of the profession. And I think that we're going to keep butting up against one another. And it's going to be harder and harder and harder for us to convince this millennial Gen Z future employee that this is the right move for you, because there's so many organizations that aren't like that anymore. Like, you can telecommute, you can bring your dog to work, you can have a flex schedule. Mm-hmm. There's so many different ways that we're working these days. Yeah. And I find that the profession still feels very traditional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I almost wonder, though, going back to technology and these advances in things like AI and blockchain and that type of stuff, whether that's going to alleviate some of that, you know, busy season, I got to work 60 hours, 70 hours, 80 hours every week, you know, whether some of that work is going to become automated and allow us to have a little bit more of that flexibility that is so important, especially to the younger generation.
Well, you know, that's a good thing and a bad thing, because if it allows you to be more engaging with clients, then you definitely need to know how to be more engaging. You know, mm-hmm. you need to understand how to talk to people. And so one of the things I always say to my students, I hear them talk about, oh, I had to take this music class. It was terrible. Such a waste of my time. I had to take this art class. Such a waste of my time. I had to take this history class. And what I'm telling them is, These are your soft skills. Mm-hmm. What is allowing you to see how everything merges together, because accounting came from a place that was impacted by history. And so you need to understand how all of these pieces of the puzzle sort of work together.
Yeah.
So hopefully it will allow us to have an easier, more efficient way to meet the technical side of the profession, but gives us more opportunity to be more engaging with people. But hopefully the pipeline of students that are coming in can meet that challenge and they can actually talk to people.
Yeah, that goes right back to those new future-ready skills that everyone's talking about that we're going to have to learn how to master. Mm-hmm. And how much, in terms of those skills, how much of the responsibility for mastering those skills falls on the shoulders of accounting educators? And how much is the responsibility of each of us to kind of, you know, take charge of our own futures and professional development?
Well, there's one person you've forgotten that in that question, and it's mm-hmm. the student. Mm-hmm. The student has to take some responsibility too. So I think that the college experience is multifaceted. And so I think you have the classroom experience, and it's the role of the educator to for sure make sure they have the technical framework, the accounting framework down. And there's some soft skills that you can implement too. Like, there's some level of writing, there's some level of public speaking and presenting that you can do. But I think the college experience as a whole gives you multiple opportunity to develop yourself. So there's a role of the student too, to go out and find and seek those opportunities, those growth opportunities. So it's not just the classroom. It's not just the educator. It's not just the practitioner. There is a role that the student plays too. And they play a major role.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What is a true kind of future-ready accounting curriculum look like to you?
I think a future-ready accounting curriculum, solid technical training is just the foundation. So mm-hmm. I think you should be able to complete the CPA exam. That's just an understatement. That's just sort of leveling the playing field. Mm-hmm. I think understanding how to incorporate AI to make you a better finance professional will be key. Understanding how to utilize data analytics, even if it's not your skill. You don't have to be the person coding, but you have to be the person that can interpret. Mm-hmm. Being comfortable with that type of information is the future-ready curriculum. And that might be a merging of more of a true merging of accounting and information systems, or accounting and computer science. like a true merger, not what we're doing now. Because I still think even when you see these departments where they're merged, I think that you still see a very siloed approach to the way we're going about it. I think the futuristic education perspective is going to be more team teaching. You know, more your skill set is computer science or coding. My skill set is internal controls. Let's develop a course together. And it's an absolute experience where we have a company that comes in and we revamp their system. I think that that is the future of an accounting curriculum. More joint ventures, if you will, with outside disciplines that you don't think normally wouldn't be together, but more team teaching, far more team teaching, so that we can allow the accounting student to understand that our discipline integrates and intersects with so many different fields. For example, there is a whole area of art fraud. And so just imagine if you taught, a team taught your fraud course with an art history professor.
Mm-hmm.
No, and so you had 2 weeks of going through art history and fraud together. I think that that is how we will evolve and just create a more richer experience for the student.
That's great. What kind of advice would you give a student who's just getting ready to leave university and enter the profession, not really knowing what they're getting into? What kind of words of advice would you offer for them?
My words of advice would be, the only way you can be competitive is love what you do. And you might not love it at first, but love and respect the outcome that it will give you. I mean, majoring in accounting not only secures you a pretty good job, but it also teaches you a skill set to become an entrepreneur, because you have knowledge that all businesses want to have. So just know what the end goal is and the end game, and know that it is a very powerful discipline. You typically will be the only CPA in the room, and you understand money. You understand finances. You understand financial statements. That is power. And if you really love what you're doing, you will retool and become stronger and stronger if you love it. And so make sure that you love it. Make sure you respect it. Make sure that you have a mentor that you can see yourself 5 years from now. I want to be like this person. 10 years from now, I want to be like that person. And maybe 20 years from now, I want to be like that person. And that could be three different people, but make sure you've identified who all of those people are.
Who is your mentor?
My mentor was my father. Yeah. So I always grew up wanting to be just like my dad. My dad passed away in 1999.
I'm sorry.
He's a business school professor. He was a business school dean and later became a college president. And so from a very early age, I wanted to be the second Dr. Richmond. So I always knew from an early age, I wanted to get my PhD. So having that early goal was very helpful in just my motivation and developing my work ethic. I always like to have mentors that I can relate to. So like it's somebody in my family, it's a friend, it's a cousin. Is someone that has something to do with me. I would never pick a mentor like a Beyonce. She has, you know, there's nothing about her life, her training that has anything to do with me. Mm-hmm. So I always need to pick an inline mentor with something that just makes sense. And so you don't have to just have one, but you should have several. You know, there's different things about various people that I respect. Another mentor for me, for a very different reason, was Oprah Winfrey. And what I always liked about Oprah Winfrey was her scalability. You know, she could put her finger on one thing, and everybody does it, right? Mm-hmm. And pick up a book and create a whole universe of people that are reading this book that never even thought about reading it. So what I took from that was the power of film, because film and TV allows you to scale an idea. And so I watched her grow and I was like, you know, not that I'm going to be Oprah, but how can I have a little Oprah effect where if I do this one thing, it can spread to thousands and thousands of people. And that's what All the Queen's Horses became. So think about how those mentors fit in your life and how you can use a little nugget from that to help you. That's just a couple. I mean, my mentors change, you know, so I have different mentors for different seasons in my life. My friends are my mentors. I have some mentors that are great moms. I have some mentors that are great sisters, yep, that are great wives. And so I have different types of mentors.
That's great. What kind of reaction have you gotten to the film?
All the Queen's Horses?
Yeah.
It's amazing. People from all over the globe have sent me emails about it because they can relate to the story. So that was, that's been great. Also, I became a TED speaker last year. I had my talk, How Whistleblowers Shape History, was launched on the TED website in October.
Okay.
And since then, I've had about 1.2 million views of the talk. And almost every day, someone around the world has sent me a message saying, you know, I watched it. It was really great. It inspired me to whistleblow, you know. So scalability to me is something that's very important. And I think as an educator, just to be able to share a message that is beyond just my classroom has been a rewarding experience.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, listen, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you and to meet you finally, Callie. Thank you so much for taking the time today and for your insights. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for the invitation.
That was Kelly Richmond Pope, an associate professor at the School of Accountancy and Management Information Systems at DePaul University. You can learn more about her work at kellyrichmondpope.com. And you know, another place where you can learn some of those future-ready skills is from our sponsor this week, the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future-Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge, along with a strategic skill set, strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning. That's all I got for you this week, gang. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.